and Tis the Law has the lead at the top of the stretch. It is Tis the Law in front with 3/16 to the finish. Tis the Law has a four-length lead. He's left the others behind.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group, Leah Cars for life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America live from Clare Court on a gorgeous Friday morning. If you're planning a track visit today, you will certainly enjoy yourself a great card and gorgeous weather. Today on the show, however, if you tuned in a little bit later on, David Aragona, morning line handicapper for NYRA. He's also with Time Forum US. We'll go over maybe a couple of races today, look at some stakes action tomorrow with David. A little bit before that, Michael Dubb and Libby Imperio from the Belmont Child Care Association. They just opened the branch up here. They've had Anna's House down at Belmont that for years has taken care of the backstretch workers' children, and now they have a branch up here, Faith's House, which they ribbon cut just day before opening day. And so we'll talk a little bit with them about that. And Michael has some horses coming up as well, so we'll hit on those also. But to start the show off, kind of an annual visit at this point. It's our friend Anise Montplaisir coming in. She's got some new positions. We started to have her a few years back when she was with the Saratoga Special, the breeding ground for the racing industry. Anise, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Seth. I'm pumped to be back, and especially in person.
Yeah, last year it was a little bit different. We had you via Zoom. We talked a little Amplify. We'll talk about that again this morning. But we were talking before we went on the air, just to remind people, again, when you were first up here, you were working with the Clancys on the Saratoga Special, but we had you back here then, and we talked, and I was reminding myself of how you got into the game from Fargo, North Dakota. You don't think that's the train to the horse racing industry. But as a teenager, you were already in the racing office at the small track out there.
Yeah, I mean, when you're at a small track and they're relatively understaffed, I think they're willing to just kind of throw you into whatever position has a vacancy. So for me, it was a pony rider and then director of communications and official clocker and just kind of whatever I would raise my hand for, they said, yep, you go for
Yeah. How did you become a racing fan?
Oh, gosh. I saw the movie Ruffian, and I just felt like the movie really captured the passion of the industry and how these horses are so bred and programmed to run, and fell in love with her. And then it was very convenient that I was so close to a track, even if it is a very small track,
sure,
which allowed me to kind of get my foot in the door and start learning.
Talk a little about your new position, because a few months ago they announced the Kentucky Equine Education Program, also known as KEEP, announced that you will now be the Equine Education Coordinator. Fill people in on the mission for KEEP and what your position is now.
Yeah, so I'm the Equine Education Coordinator for the Kentucky Equine Education Project. So for people who aren't familiar with KEEP, it's really the equine industry's economic advocate in Kentucky. So they do a lot to educate the citizens of Kentucky about the impact of the equine industry. So we're not thoroughbred specific. We're all breeds, all riding disciplines. But, you know, in Kentucky, thoroughbreds are still a big part of that. And so within the last couple of years, they've started to do quite a bit more with workforce, as there is quite a workforce shortage in the entire equine industry and definitely felt in the thoroughbred industry. And then kind of a build off of that was to add me to do more educational engagement and really to streamline and connect some of the existing educational initiatives that are out there in Kentucky and promote them to youth and teach youth how they can kind of start along that pathway to maybe seeking out or pursuing a career in the equine industry.
So what was it, the end of last year you got the position?
Yes. Yep. End of last year. So I did kind of some contract work coming out of Godolphin Flying Start. And then I started this position in January.
You mentioned Godolphin Flying Start, and I had that down on my list, so I'll let you get into that because I think it's a great program. You're a graduate of the Godolphin Flying Start program. So for folks who aren't familiar, you know, I say this multiple times during the meet. I think when we come up here, it's a lot of fun to bring new people into the game. We certainly have a lot of hardcore fans who watch in the morning, but I think there's a lot of new people too, potentially a lot of young people. So we'll talk a little bit about Amplify as well. But for folks who maybe aren't familiar but are interested in the game, talk a little bit about the Flying Start program and your experience with it.
Godolphin Flying Start, it used to be called Darley Flying Start, it's now Godolphin Flying Start, is a two-year thoroughbred industry management course, international thoroughbred industry management course. So over the course of those 2 years, a group of 12 trainees is gathered together and studies in 5 different countries. And so you're really immersed in the breeding and racing industries and all aspects of it in each of those 5 countries. And then you get a lot of opportunities to travel to other countries along the way. And it just offers you some amazing connections and kind of just throws you into the mix of things. You do externships in every country where you're located, so you get to work with some amazing people.
Talk a little bit about your visiting some of the international locations. And I know we had you on the show a couple of years ago in college. You were down in South America for a semester. And sitting up looking over the local racetrack where you were located, I remember that. So you were already an international traveler. But how was the Flying Start program bouncing around to the different countries?
It is, nothing can mentally prepare you for it, really. You know, as you go into it, it feels like, wow, I have this amazing opportunity. But you don't realize how amazing it is until it's all finished and you think, wow, I actually did that. Like one of the big moments for me in Australia, they round up their mares with quad bikes. They call them quad bikes, but four-wheelers.
Sure.
Here. So going out and driving out over these hills on four-wheelers and rounding up the mares and all the mares galloping in to be fed or checked by the vet. And it was just one of those mind-blowing moments. It's like, wow, I'm actually here.
I read also, I was doing a little research last night, speaking of Australian experiences, you were saddling the winner in a grade one out, the Gong?
Yeah, it was a horse named Mr. Seawolf. And so one of my externships was with Chris Waller, who's the trainer of the famous Winx, which is incredible. And by the way, they start training at 3 a.m. in Australia, so you have to get used to super early working hours. And it was so worth it because they just pitched me right into the mix, and you just become so immersed with the team. And so we're getting ready for this big race, and his assistant trainer was like, okay, get in here, you're helping me saddle this horse. And then he wins a $1 million race. So it's just one of those memories that will be forever imprinted on my mind.
Yeah,
for sure.
No doubt. And again, the Flying Start program is just it's very impressive. The graduates typically go on to be prominent in the industry, and you are clearly going to be one of those. And I want to talk about one of your other initiatives. Again, we talked a little bit about it last year, but Phil, thank you. Let's fill people in because, as I say, love to introduce young people who may be in the audience and thinking, you know, I kind of thinking about the horse racing industry, introduce them to ways to become involved, and Amplify is a way that younger people can learn more about the industry and maybe become involved. There's a website, amplifyhorseracing.org. Give us the mission of Amplify, which is an organization that you started, so credit to you. And you say you have an event coming up shortly as well.
Yeah, so Amplify is a 501c3 nonprofit amplifying education and careers in the thoroughbred industry. So I'm actually the co-founder, and you know, a lot of people who get into the industry kind of come about through these winding pathways of, like, they saw racing on TV, or they read a book, or they went to the track by chance with a parent. And then once you have that interest sparked, it's like, well, where do I go from here? How do I figure out step by step how to get in? So my co-founder and I, she's from Texas originally, both had that winding journey and wanted to make it a bit more streamlined and also along the way amplify existing initiatives that are already out there. So that's our goal, is to amplify the programs that are already in the industry and then kind of fill in the gaps from there. So we just launched a brand new mentorship program that we're now piloting. We're really excited about that, sending 12 new mentees into the industry. And yeah, as you mentioned, we have a series of tours next week, which we're really excited about. In 2019, after we launched, Naira was kind enough to let us do some enhanced educational tours here in Saratoga. Now NYTHA is also partnering with us on those this year. So it's Naira, NYTHA, and Amplify. And so it's 5 days of enhanced educational tours, August 11th through the 15th. You can still sign up. We have spots on the Wednesday, the Friday, and Sunday, if I'm correct. And so it's going to be, you know, we'll hook up with the Naira trolley tour. We're going to go speak to a trainer. We're going to learn about BEST, the chaplaincy, NYTHA, all the resources that are here on the backstretch for the racing community. And, you know, probably visit with a pony rider and introduce these groups to as many different careers as possible. And then, of course, we get to go to the races. The group will get to go in the paddock. They get tickets, programs, so we're really making sure that they have an immersive experience.
So how do people sign up for that?
So they can email me at info@amplifyhorseracing.org, and I will send them the registration form, or they can follow Amplify Horse Racing on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. The registration stuff is all over our social media.
And there we go. There's the website right there. So if you go there and hit the contact information, people can find out more. That's great. That's fabulous. As I say, I know we get a lot of young people tuning in during the Saratoga meet and are interested in the racing game. And so that's a great way to kind of, you've kind of, as you say, streamlined the situation, because you know what it was like for you to kind of get involved in the game.
Yeah.
Now Amplify makes it maybe a little bit easier for young folks.
That is certainly our goal. So we welcome any other volunteers out there, people who are interested in becoming mentors and want to help us make that pathway even easier for people to get involved.
Excellent. And as I say, Amplify, horseracing.org, the website. Visit that for more information. Thanks for the cap. Certainly appreciate that. Also want to talk about something else you do. Bilingual. I'm impressed by that. The La Trifecta online show that you do with some co-hosts. And I think we may have a graphic for that as well. If people want to pick up on that and follow that online, where do they find that?
Yeah, so that we live stream at 8 p.m. Eastern time every other Thursday night. So it's basically a video program through America's Best Racing. I co-host it with Claudia Espadaro, who people might see on air for the Spanish coverage for the Stronach Group tracks, and then Darwin Vizcaya. And we always have an absolute blast. I see the graphics as 7 p.m., but we are 8 p.m. ET until 9. And, you know, we bring on really fun guests. You know, the three of us we're actually very close friends. So it's just getting on and having a general fun chat about racing. We had a show last night. We had Jose Francisco D'Angelo, the trainer of Jesus's team, on with us. It's so fun. People will tune into the show from all over. We've had jockeys tune in from, you know, come on the live stream from a restaurant, eating dinner with friends and family before. And we love that stuff. It's meant to be really casual and kind of not have a serious, you know, analytical talk about racing, but like a fun, why do we love the sport kind of talk about it.
And it is a sport and it is entertainment, and so it should be fun. And
exactly.
It's great to do something like that. So again, if folks go to America's Best Racing, then they'll find out more information.
Yep, absolutely. And all the shows are recorded on their YouTube page as
nice.
Well.
Nice. And before we let you go, I have to ask you now, because again, clearly through Darley Flying Start and prior to that, you have been to tracks not only around the country but around the world as well. You're now kind of a regular up here at Saratoga from your Saratoga special days through now. So I need you to make a little bit of a comparison. I'm a homer, so I know what I'm hoping you say, but how does Saratoga stack up with tracks worldwide?
It's the best. And I'm not just saying that because I'm on the show right now. It is, I don't know, once I had my first summer in Saratoga, it is like I can't not go back again, you know. So I've been back every summer since then, which I think, gosh, now this is my seventh summer, and which I've been really fortunate. But it's just something about the air and the people, and everyone is so happy and joyful when you're up here. And it's just such an amazing environment for the horses. So Saratoga's the best. I'm kind of biased.
You say everybody's so happy to be here. That was like tripled. That was 10 times on opening day here after last year.
Yeah.
It was just so much fun. And I always say to people when we're talking about Saratoga, it's what's outside the fence that makes it so special. The track's great, and then being here, that's all fabulous. And,
yeah.
But you go downtown, and you're sitting at a table, and the people next to you, hey, here's the triple I'm playing tomorrow, or here's what I scored today. That's what makes it so special.
Right. Yeah. You sit down at a restaurant, there's racing people all around yeah. you, and yeah,
it makes
it's
it great.
The best.
Anise, appreciate the visit. Really appreciate the work you're doing as well with both Keep and Amplify. And again, we'll continue to push Amplify a little bit more, just on the front side if I run into it. Typically, I do many times during the meet. Some young folks are interested in getting in the game. Great place to kind of move that forward. But Anise, my pleasure. Again, Keep's Equine Education Coordinator, one of the founders of Amplify Horse Racing. Appreciate the visit. Have
Thank
fun the rest
so
of the meet.
Thank you so much, Seth. I really appreciate it. You as well.
Appreciate it. All right, we'll take a break. I saw him in the green room. Michael Dubb. We'll talk a little Faith's House. They had the ribbon cutting a couple of weeks ago, but he's also had some horses coming up, so we'll talk about all of that and much more. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the West. I'm Scott Varley at Saratoga's latest and greatest high-rise luxury condo. Starting in the mid-fives, every condo here has two bedrooms and two baths and upgrades, just like this. Check out these oversized private balconies. We also have a gym, a private lounge, and get this, a heated parking garage. To make a reservation for your private condo at the West, call or text me. I'm Scott Varley at 518-281-6808.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
For four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. The day before the meet, we were across the street at a ribbon-cutting ceremony for Faith's House, the offshoot of Anna's House, which is the Belmont Child Care Association facility downstate, but now they've opened up upstate as well, and we have a couple of the executive committee members from the Belmont Child Care Association, Michael Dubb and Libby Imperio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
How are you?
Thanks. I wanted to have you on to talk a little bit about Faith South. And let's start, before we talk Faith South specifically, let's go back to Anna's house downstate. And Libby, I'll ask you, Belmont Child Care Association, what's the mission? And Faith's house, or Anna's house, has now been there for a while and kind of has become an essential part of the backstretch, taking care of the children of the backstretch workers. Talk a little bit about Belmont Child Care Association mission and Anna's house specifically.
Well, our mission is to provide a safe haven for children, babies and toddlers and pre-K students, so that their parents don't have to worry while they're taking care of the horses. We're open 365 days a year at 5 o'clock in the morning, so that's a big deal. And not only are we providing childcare, but the educational factor that we're providing, so that they, when they go into the public school systems, they're not only on par with the children, they're ahead of the other children in the public school system. And we recently, in the last 3 years, licensed our building for school-age children, so that our graduates, once they finish with Anna House, on their days off and holidays, can come back to the facility and be there. So now we can go up to the age of 13 with those children. We've had about 20 kids full-time throughout the pandemic, because since they couldn't go to the public school system, we had them come there, and they went full-time in school there. We provided a tutor. They did their public school system education through the Zoom, but then we provided extra curricular activities and education and tutors for them throughout the year.
Yeah, very good. Just a worthwhile organization, the Belmont Child Care Association. If you go to belmontchildcare.org, you can learn more. You can donate as well, and I will tout that also. Mike, I'll ask you, we have some video here of the ribbon cutting the other day. And we also pulled up some video from last year when you talked about the facility under construction. So we go from that. We have some shots of the kids as well. And given the situation with COVID this year, we didn't go in the Faith's house, but we have some pictures of the kids from downstate. And then towards the end, the ribbon cutting the other day, where folks will see the finished facility as well. Talk about the impetus for taking what was so successful downstate with Anna's house and moving it up here to Saratoga with Faith's house.
Well, firstly, Libby is our president, and she's very modest. She works tirelessly around the clock just for the overall good of the daycare centers now. The impetus is really, we knew we were missing something with Saratoga. It's the marquee meet in horse racing. The daycare center downstate, Anna's house, opens at 5 a.m. 365 days a year, and it serves its need, but there's a Saratoga need. We really wanted to close the loop, so this was a long time in coming. We wanted to have it ready for last summer, but obviously there was no last summer. So the kids are here. It's the first year, and it's just amazing to see them. The kids are so happy. So we're over the moon with the way it's worked out. You have people coming from all around the country who come to Saratoga, and now they have a place for their children. So it helps out a lot of people.
Yeah, and Libby, we were talking before we went on the air about just what Michael said with the folks coming in from different locations. It's not just serving the New York community now. It's really broadened, given the you know, the international crossroads, or the national crossroads that Saratoga is.
As Mike was saying, it was very important for us to close that loop. And I think many people thought, oh, well, I don't run at Belmont. I only run in Saratoga. And so that all the trainers that came from California, Kentucky, Florida, Maryland, now we have a place for them and their children and their families. And, you know, we're available to jockeys, children, anybody who really is working on the track. And we're just over the moon about it.
And again, we had some video there of the ribbon cutting, and you both spoke at that. And Libby, you were saying, and it was kind of funny to hear you say it, when you came up with the idea for Faith's house, you were trying to decide where to go, and some of the sites were off the property. And I say it's funny that you said that, because now it seems like, how could it have been anywhere else? It's like perfectly spotted back there next to where all the backstretch activities happen.
It's amazing, and thank you to Naira for the property. And it's crazy the amount of locations that Mike and I looked at for over 10 years. And it was just the right place and the right time. And we couldn't be happier.
And Mike, talk a little bit about, again, we showed some pictures there before, and the kids and the diplomas and whatnot, and Libby touted the educational aspect. Talk a little bit about that. It's not just childcare, but you are giving these kids kind of a head start on their education as well.
Well, look, the children of the backstretch workers are generally the children of first-generation Americans, and their parents came here to make a better life. Horse racing is a sport that it's a luxury. It's incumbent on all of us to take care of the people who take care of the horses. Child care for these people is so important. I'm a builder, and without a foundation, you have a problem with your structure. We give these kids a great foundation. They come in at 6 weeks, and they learn English skills, because most of the homes are Hispanic. They learn the computers, iPad, chess, gardening, arts and crafts, interaction. So when they graduate in cap and gown, pre-K, they are ready to take on the world. And we've been told by the public schools that they go into, these children are at the top of the class right from the get-go. And it might not have been that way without Anna's house and now Faith's house. But this is not just Libby and I. We have a terrific board, and we have a racetrack community that supports what we do. And they've been very good. You know, we started, opened our doors in 2003, and we've had hundreds and hundreds of children go through there, and hundreds of success stories. So this is really, you know, a race, and everybody on the racetrack should be really proud.
Yeah, you've done a great job. You've both done a great job, and your team as well, and board members also. We're now, 3 weeks in? What's the response been? How are the kids enjoying the new facility?
You know, I was there the other morning, and I went up to the window, all the windows, and I encourage anyone, if they want to come by and look in the windows, you can. We can't let you in during school hours because of the COVID restrictions. But you can go up to our windows and you can see how happy these children are. They come running to the windows, waving, smiling. I was there the other day, and we've recently given them all baby binoculars. So they actually watch the horses go through the chute and onto the main track. So they're learning their horses early. We haven't started handicapping yet, but they will learn that in mathematics. But it is, I didn't think there could be a happier place on the racetrack besides Anna House, and Faith's house, I think, is the second to the winner's circle in Saratoga.
Yeah, I like that.
And, you know, I just encourage all owners in racing, big and small, there is a need of the backstretch, not just Belmont Child Care, but the chaplaincy and Best. And we as owners have a responsibility to take care of our own.
Absolutely. And again, I've been pushing Anna's house. We've had you on previous years to talk Anna's house downstate. And again, Belmont Child Care Association, visit the website, and you can donate there and learn more there as well. Great facility downstate and now upstate. Talk a little bit, Mike, about the name, Faith's House.
Faith's house is named after my mother, Faith, and there was something about the name Faith that I thought it was appropriate for this building. And certainly my mother had the influence on me to want to make me succeed and want to make me do things like this. So I think it was aptly named.
Yeah, and again, I congratulate you both. You've been successful in the game, obviously, as one of the leading owners in New York, and to give back to the get to game like this. The as you say, the 365 people who are here every day feeding the horses, taking care of them, did that obviously during COVID as well. And so to give back to them, both Anna's house and now Faith's house up here in Saratoga, I congratulate both of you. But
if I could, there's,
please.
I'd just like Libby to give the information on our gala.
Absolutely.
Our annual gala is Thursday, August 26th. Where the Wild Things Are is BCCA in Saratoga. The last couple of years, we've tried to always have a theme about a children's book. So this year is Where the Wild Things Are. I think it's going to be really great. We are, due to COVID, we are capping our numbers around 200. So buy your tickets early. But it is at Saratoga National starting at 6:30 on the 26th. You can participate in our silent auction via your phone and internet. But tickets are available now, and we hope everybody turns out.
Nice. So if they go to the website, they can get
correct.
The tickets?
And, you know, and you can just make a straight donation if you want. And I'm a big believer in that there is no donation too small. So $5, $10, $25, it all goes to the best things that we can.
Speaking of which,
yeah.
How about the donation you guys got from the Goofy Golf?
The golf!
Who could have seen that coming?
I did not see that coming. I got a call Sunday afternoon about this golf, mini golf tournament, and I had actually just arrived back in Long Island, and Andy Serling, Anthony Stabile, Louis Lazzanero, and Kirk Wyckoff, they played a crazy game of mini golf. I heard the losers lost by 20 strokes, which is kind of amazing in mini golf. But the generosity of the people that donated, and over about $100,000 was raised for racing charities, and we, Belmont Child Care, is one of the beneficiaries of it, and wow, thank you, everybody that participated.
Yeah, that was crazy. I was talking, we interviewed Anthony yesterday, $100,000 on mini golf. Who would have thought? That was crazy.
Hopefully next year they can do it again.
That's right. Okay, well, again, it's BelmontChildCare.org if you want more information, tickets to the gala or whatnot. But again, it's a great cause, and jump in and learn more about it. Donate if you choose to as well. Before we let you go, though, Michael, you got some horses in, so I want to talk a little horses as well. First, I will pull up your winner the other day of the Rick Violette. We'll watch the stretch run here. It's going to be number one, Run Curtis Run. This was the second career start. Nice win in only start number two, win number two. So I'm wondering, you know, this was an early win at the meet, July 21st. Will we see Run Curtis Run again?
Showcase day. I guess that is August 26th or August 27th. Yeah, that's two for two for this horse.
Yeah, nice in your silks there. First start was an off the turf. Was he a main track only, or were you looking for the turf the first time?
We were looking for the turf.
Okay.
And we're still looking for the turf.
Okay.
But if it's not broken, we're not fixing it.
Yeah, good point. Two for two, including a stakes race there. This afternoon, are you going to be going with Chateau and the Troy? And I'm just curious, I ask this because he seems more of a dirt runner, very talented. I have him in the mix, but Chateau and the Troy this afternoon?
Well, update, we're scratching.
Okay.
We've always wanted to try the horse on the turf, but this was just too salty a spot for a test.
Yes, it is. So I would imagine you're looking for something else for him up here?
We'd like to find something for him up here. He's really distance limited at 6 furlongs or less. Turf's 5.5.
Yeah.
It would have been ideal if it rained, which it seems to every day except for when I needed to. But it's just too salty to experiment.
Yeah, I hear you. And finally, on Sunday, the Saratoga Oaks, Plum Alley, we're going to watch the debut effort last year up here at Saratoga. She's going to be the number six horse. She comes back here. Are you looking for maybe a she appreciates the home cooking up here at Saratoga and hope she gets back to this effort in Sunday Saratoga Oaks?
Well, we're concerned about distance. She seems to be very effective at a mile and an eighth. This is a mile and 3/16. We feel like the race is here, the weather's cooperating, we're going to give it a shot. She's doing great.
Yeah, and it's got to give you a little confidence to have the win over the track.
Yes.
Take the shot there, too. So, again, some runners coming up, some runners to look forward to down the road as well, as you're always successful on the NYRA circuit. Again, one of the more prominent owners, but that just made it only nicer that you jumped in and participated in Anna's House. And now again, I wanted to have you guys on to talk a little Faith's House, because we had the ribbon cutting 3 weeks ago. Again, a great cause. If folks want to learn more, BelmontChildCare.org. Michael Dupp, Libby Imperio, thanks for the visit. Congratulations on the new facility. And again, very much appreciated, not just by folks on the backstretch, but as a fan, I appreciate the effort as well.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Appreciate it. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, David Aragona will talk some stakes action today and tomorrow as well. Stay tuned.
the juvenile fillies to 14 of them across the track. Here's Sent on their way. And of the dance on the outside, broke a little sideways with Pro KK, but meanwhile it's going to be stopped. But running on now, and Somali Lemonade's got eight to make up. They come to the top of the lane, stop shopping. Maria's got a lot left. Stop shopping. Maria goes on. Sweet Cat is right there. Hard not to like. Royal Body is running on. Past the eighth ball, they come. Stop shopping. Maria for the run. Still under a hand ride as they come to the 16th. Stephanie's Kitten coming out late. Yes, Stephanie's Kitten coming fast. Stephanie's Kitten, stop chopping area. Stephanie's Kitten's water.
The chances broke smartly, but so did Terra from the Cape. On the inside, Sky Lantern the Grey going well. If he can get through, Sky Lantern the Grey looking for somewhere to run. Wide open. It's Terra from the Cape hanging on. Terra from the Cape tries to go all the way. On the outside now, here comes Flotilla in the light blue. Flotilla is absolutely flying. Watch the chances in there too. But Flotilla has gone right on by. And Flotilla is coming home to score. Flotilla has won it just about two in the end. It'll be Watch the Chances, Summer of Fun, coming on to finish there.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on a Friday morning. As promised before the break, we are joined now by David Aragona, the morning line odds maker for NYRA, also Time Forum USA. David, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Good to be here.
Happy to have you on board. How are you enjoying your Saratoga meet so far?
Oh, I'm loving being back here. I didn't make it up at all last season, so it's just so great to be back in Saratoga. It's really got that vibe of the past few years that you were hoping for.
Yeah, there was a lot of smiles, a lot of fun on opening day and opening week, and it's just continued through the same sentiment you have. Just glad to be back. It was strange. I was here every day last year. It was very strange, so I'm happy to have people back as well. You're also the morning line odds maker, and I have to ask you, you have some nice full fields up here and tough cards. Does the morning line job get tougher up in Saratoga?
It definitely does. I mean, those two-year-old maiden races, just figuring out which first-time starters are going to be live, that's always difficult. And then just kind of figuring out which horses are working well, which barns are hot right now. Mike Maker's been on fire, so I've kind of had to lower his morning lines a little bit. There's just so much going on in these races at Saratoga, so you just have to try to stay on top of it as best you can.
That's a great point, that as the morning line guy, you kind of have to keep up on those trends, like a Mike Maker trend, who saw that coming? You're always thinking, it's Todd or Chad, and Mike Maker off to a hot start, and you do. Once that happens, I think the betting public does jump on that, and that means you have to jump on it as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's up by, five or six wins in the trainer standings, so, I mean, I didn't peg him as one of the leading traders coming into the meet, but you can see the public's betting his horses, so you have to take that into account a little
Luis
bit.
Luis Saez, take a little Saez into account as well?
Same thing. I mean, the Ortiz brothers always take a lot of money, especially Irad, but Luis Saez's mounts have been doing really well, so you kind of figure that those are the three guys you have to lower a little bit when you're making the lines, but we'll see if it changes over the next few weeks, because it certainly can.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like I say, you have to be aware of the trends. Trends are trends. They can change, certainly. But you do a great job. I will commend you on that. And I think that helps people out, certainly up at Saratoga, when folks are a little bit new to the game, to be able to look at the morning line and kind of get an idea on the direction things go. Why don't we take a look at some of the action this afternoon? We'll start things out in the Hall of Fame.
I put Easy Time on top. I thought Mark Cassie's runner looked pretty good in that stake at Woodbine last time. And the turf race two back was okay, so I think the horse turf's all right. So I took a little shot with your morning line at 6-1, and I think we'll get a decent price in there. I had 4-7, 6-2. How did you see the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, Easy Time's an interesting horse. He's got that big synthetic win last time. Yeah. So, I mean, if he switches back to turf, he's a major player. It does seem like there's quite a bit of speed in the race, especially on the outside. Yeah. Horses like Original and Neck. So if the field holds it together and there aren't any significant scratches, I just thought the Public Sector, who will probably be the favorite, was going to get a great trip in here. He was kind of pace compromised last time in the Manila when that race was really dominated on the front end by Original. And this time he figures to get the kind of pace setup that he really wants. And just seems like one of these Chad Brown horses that's really coming into his own right now, and I think the distance works for him. So I put him on top, kind of chalking it out a little bit.
Yeah, I put him at the bottom, and I have no arguments with everything you said. I think there are a few competitive races on the card today, and this is one of them. And again, the three outside horses, that's going to be the puzzle that you have to solve. How are they going to play into that first turn? Because any time we say, oh, there's going to be a real duel between these three up front, just never happens.
I know. It seems like somebody gets the idea in their head that they want the lead. Yeah. The others defer a little bit. Hopefully that doesn't happen here because we've got some need the lead horses in that race.
Absolutely. Three horses, as you say, need the lead. We're hoping. I'm looking for Easy Time to kind of stalk and pounce, but I think that's probably a scenario for Public Sector as well. A little bit later on, the Troy Grade 3 event, 5.5 on the grass. I have heard Casa Creed, my whisper was that one's coming out. It looked like Michael Dubb was also saying that Chateau may come out of there. I had Casa Creed on top. And if that one does leave, I then leaning on the two veterans in here, the two seven-year-olds, Impermis and Bound for Nowhere. I always feel like turf sprints, it's kind of a specialty, and these are a couple of grizzled veterans, stakes, turf, sprint-wise, so I'm tilting in that direction. But I thought at your 10-1 morning line, Chewing Gum from Bill Mott was very intriguing for me. How did you see the Troy?
Yeah, I'm interested to see how the pace shakes out in this race because I was kind of wondering if Chateau was going to stay in. He almost seemed like a kind of, you know, fake MTO horse in the race. So with him out, he's got that blazing speed. He would have been in front even on the turf. But it feels like Bound for Nowhere is the horse that should inherit the lead. But I saw some reporting that Wesley Ward does not want him on the lead in this race. Uh-huh. And I just wonder who else is going to take up the running because it seems like he's the naturally fastest horse on paper. And with Casa Creed coming out to the outside of him, I mean, he's got that good outside trip. So I guess his rider will have some options. I just think Bound for Nowhere is the horse to beat. Both him and Impermis, as you said, they're the class horses in this race. And Bound for Nowhere, even though it looked like he was supposed to get the right trip in the Jiper, there wasn't a lot of speed on paper in that race, but it turned into a competitive pace. Some horses went after him. He was just under the gun the entire way, and I thought that race kind of did go to the closer in the end. So this time, with not so much pace signed on, I think that Bound for Nowhere is going to get the right trip, and I'm hoping this time he gets the jump on Impermis. They're both really nice horses. Yeah. I'm just giving the slight edge to Bound for Nowhere.
And as I say, Chewing Gum off the second in the Jiper last time to me is interesting. I think we may get a little bit of a price on that one, but maybe it's turned a corner a little bit, maybe in good season high form. We'll see how that works out in the Troy. Let's take a look at some of the action for tomorrow, and I'm going to pull up a replay here. Let me get my chart. In the test, I'm going to pull up the chart for search results from the Acorn, and I could have pulled up the Kentucky Oaks. That was an incredible race with Malathat and search results duking it out. But coming back to the mile last time, search results, nice winner. Now cuts back to the seven. I just think this is a horse that's vying for leadership of the division. So to step back to the seven on Saturday, I went in that direction. But Chad also with Always Karina, I think is a player obligatory for Bill Mott is interesting to me. How did you see the test?
I mean, search results is definitely the horse to beat. Chad Brown has two strong contenders in here, but she's the more accomplished of the two. I've got to say, I was a little bit underwhelmed by this Acorn. I mean, she got a really nice pace set up, and it looked like she was going to shut the door on this field. And I'm actually most interested in Obligatory, that gray horse coming on the outside for second here. There was not a quick pace up front, and Obligatory was the only one doing any running at the end of this race. But you already know that Obligatory loves the 7 furlong distances. She won going that far in the 8 Bells two back when she just swooped the field field and came from last in a 12-horse field. And I see enough pace in here to set up Obligatory's late run. So with these two horses both turning back from the mile to 7 furlongs, I actually prefer Obligatory at a slightly better price.
All right. And as I say, I wouldn't argue against that one at all. And I think you have a 4-1 on the morning line. And I think the two Chad horses will take some action. So I think you will get an interesting price. I also, bottom line mix, I put Super Sensational, 6-1 on the morning line. Coming out of the victory ride last time, and that was a nice win with a lifetime best buyer number. I think that horse could be a little bit of a player. Again, it looks like one that maybe turned the corner.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to do with her. That victory ride, it looked like a really strong race heading into it, but there were a couple of really notable no-shows in that race. Tony Dutrow's horse, whose name is Miss Brazil, and also Australasia, was basically pulled up. So I think it became an easier race than it originally looked like, but she ran a competitive speed figure. It's kind of a funny race when you look at the buyer speed figures. They all have those numbers kind of between 92, 93, 95. So it's going to be interesting to see how these horses sort themselves out. I even think Bella Sophia on the outside is interesting. She was very impressive last time out at Belmont Park. She's getting a class test, but she's quick enough to be competitive here.
Yeah, Libby Imperio was mentioned in that one as she stepped out, Imperio horse in the test. So I totally agree. And I had that one. That one kind of bounced in and out of my mix. But being lightly raced, there may still be some upside for Bella Sophia. Let's also take a look at the Saratoga Derby. $1 million up for grabs, a grade one event. I am going to pull up the Lexington and watch King Fury. I have King Fury underneath. I put Bolshoi Ballet on top off the win in the Belmont Derby. But I thought King Fury looked really good in the seasonal debut in the Lexington. Going to be the number 9 horse here. Subsequently, King Fury ran second in the Ohio Derby. Only dirt so far. I found it a little bit intriguing that Ken McPeak tries to turf. And sometimes I think a good 3-year-old dirt horse maybe classes up nicely on the move to turf. Now they have to take the turf. That question will have to be answered. But I thought King Fury was interesting. But I did put Bolshoi Ballet on top. I went 6, 11, 4, and 9. How did you see the Saratoga Derby?
Yeah, I mean, King Fury is probably going to be a price in this race, so I don't want to be too hard on a price horse. But I know this was not the preferred spot for Ken McPeak. They just kind of were forced to run here because I think they wanted to run in the Jim Dandy, and the quarantine situation had forced them to choose a different spot. And not a ton of turf pedigree. And I was looking up some stats. Ken McPeak, I think, is 0-26 first-time turf over the past 5 years with non-maiden. So I was against him a little bit. I really think the strength of this race is among the European shippers, and Bolshoi Ballet, obviously the horse to beat. He showed his class early in the season, going off as the favorite in the Epsom Derby. Got the job done in the Belmont Derby last time. It wasn't the most impressive winner of that race. I thought it was a workmanlike win, but I think he's facing a tougher field here because there are some other pretty talented Euro shippers. I'm actually very interested in the second choice on the line, the number 4 Cadillac. I mean, he's a horse who showed some promise as a 2-year-old. He was an impressive Group 2 winner over in Ireland. We saw him in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. Not sure he put forth his best effort that day, but he was really good last time out, winning that Group 3 in Ireland over older horses. Both the runner-up and the third-place finisher in that race are Group 1 placed horses, so there were some classy older runners in that field, and he was pretty gutsy to get it done by a nose, and I think he could stack up pretty well with these from a class standpoint.
Gets an eight-pound weight drop, too. That's always worth taking a little bit of a look. As compared to when I first got in the game, I don't look at that as much as I used to, but 8 pounds is kind of notable. Mm-hmm. The Whitney, obviously the highlight of the weekend. I'm going to pull up a replay here of the Foster. We're going to watch Maxfield get it done pretty convincingly down at Churchill at the end of June. But, boy, I mean, you can point to the entire field, I think, on best efforts can get it done. I put Nick's Go on top. I think this horse in the short field, off the confidence builder. I said before the Cornhusker, I said, you know, I think Brad Cox is sending this one out to Prairie Meadows for a confidence booster. Mission accomplished in the Cornhusker. And off of that one, I put Nick's Go on top. But Maxfield off of this effort is tough. Silver State comes in with a win streak. Even Swiss Skydiver is intriguing to me with the win over the track last year in the Alabama. Your thoughts on the Whitney?
Yeah, I think it's really hard to get around that pace advantage that Nick's Go is likely to short have in this field. Race. Only 5 horses. I mean, really the only one that seems fast enough to go with him early is Swiss Skydiver, and I doubt they're going to sacrifice her to try to go after him coming off the layoff. So it just feels like Nick's Go is going to get the same kind of trip that he got in the Cornhusker last time, where he set an honest but pretty moderate pace and did it very easily up front. And, I mean, he just ran away from that field. 113 buyer, that's just gigantic. We haven't seen any horses in the handicap division approach that kind of number. And he he's just run the kind of speed figures that are a little bit out of reach of the numbers that Maxfield has run so far. Maxfield, I know some would consider him perhaps a leader of this division right now, but he's really got to take a step forward if Nick Sko shows up in this race, and he's going to have to find a way to overcome the pace advantage that Nick Sko is likely to enjoy. So I put Nick Sko on top as well. I just think it's really tough to get around him in this race. I respect Maxfield. I even respect Swiss Skydiver. It seems like she's training well for this return. Again, I'm not sure that this was the preferred spot for Ken McPeak, but I mean, her Preakness does put her right there. It's just, will we see it or not? Because she doesn't always show up with her top effort.
Yeah, you mentioned the buyers, and you're right. Nick's go off of that 113, but even his kind of secondary numbers to that a little bit earlier, you know, you go 3-4 starts back, have a little bit of an edge on Maxfield. So be interesting to see how this one plays out, but it does look like Nick's go is potentially going to take him all the way around. Speaking of the buyers and speaking of the morning line, I talk about it a lot when I'm in here. I think handicappers now, the public now, focuses so much on those buyer numbers. And I do as well, but they're a tool in the toolbox. But I'm guessing, just looking at the way you make the morning line and then the way people bet, you kind of have to take a serious look at the buyers as well when you're talking morning line.
Oh, yeah, that's usually a starting point for me in races where horses have a lot of experience. You want to know who the fastest horses are because those are the horses that the public usually bets. And then you take into account connections and which horses are likely to move forward off races. The speed figures matter a little bit less in maiden races where horses' form sometimes isn't solidified yet and they can make big jumps forward after first starts into their second starts. But, yeah, the speed figures are always a starting point for me.
Before I let you go, also let you tout you're doing some media work for Daily Racing Form, right?
Yep, I do some videos with them. I do some writing. My analysis is on the NIRA website if you want to find it there for Timeform US. So, yeah, all different places.
Yeah, Timeform, DRF, NIRA Morning Line, all over the place. Oh, and give your Twitter handle because that's fun to follow as
you
well.
You can follow me on @HorseToWatch. I'll give out some handicapping opinions on Twitter or some takes after races. So, yeah, @HorseToWatch on Twitter.
Very good. David, appreciate the visit, and good luck this afternoon, this weekend.
Thanks for having me.
David Aragona, again, NIRA, DRF, Timeform US. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show. But also for my friend Kim Weir is in the house. TRF, they've got a couple of events coming up that we wanted to tout. So all of that in a couple of minutes when we wrap up the show. Stay tuned.
For four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the capital region? Tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Welcome back. A couple minutes left to this Friday edition of Racing Across America, and I told our friend Kim Weir, come on in, because you have a couple of events coming up to benefit the TRF, the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, and we'll promo those a little bit, because I'm sure folks will be interested. Kim, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. It's great to be here.
And I said to Michael Dove and Libby Imperio, because they were part of the charity group that got the benefit, I will ask you, because TRF got the benefit as well as one of the four charities, who could see that mini golf coming?
Amazing, just amazing. The amount of thanks, gratitude, and love is beyond words. And I was there. I was there for the finale of the golf tournament, which was exciting. But it was not nearly as exciting as when they announced what they'd raised. It was crazy. That happened. I have to keep telling myself, did that really happen? Yes, that really happened. Amazing things. People have big hearts, and they're doing great things around this town.
Yeah,
so.
Congratulations to Anthony Stabile and Andy Serling for just kind of talked to Stabile yesterday.
Amazing.
Just kind of threw around an idea that eventually turned into, and I will also appreciate all the folks who donated as well. But they just threw around an idea, and a few days later, $100,000 is raised on behalf of four charities, including TRF.
We are so grateful. So grateful. So.
All right, let's talk to a couple of events coming up. August 8th, Casamigos for Jocks and Horses. That'll be at the Adelphi. Talk a little bit about it. And you have the appropriate prop as well.
I did. I decided to use a little show and tell, the old school teacher in me. These are the beautiful bottles. So this is an amazing thing, amazing people doing amazing stuff. The wonderful team at Casamigos Tequila, which is, everyone knows how big-hearted Lee Einsiedler is. And he has donated these 100 bottles of beautiful tequila. Yummy tequila, if you like tequila. The jockeys then spent Saturday signing them. So we have all of the jockey colony has signed these bottles. This has been an amazing logistical thing to watch, and it's done. All 100 are signed. And they are sold out. I'm here to say 100 bottles have sold for $100 each. Those proceeds are split between the TRF, our horses are very grateful, and the Permanently Disabled Jockey Fund. So it's for jocks and horses. Great gifts for both organizations, but there's still fun to be had because there are still tickets for sale. We will be doing this on Sunday at the Adelphi. Cannot say enough about the Adelphi as our host. The wonderful Roth family, Patrick, who many folks know at the Adelphi, and his incredible staff. They're still taking ticket sales. You call or email the Adelphi. It's $25, and you get not only a cocktail with this yummy tequila made by their Adelphi mixologist, but then the very fabulous and famous Mr. Bobby Flay has designed the appetizers. And so when you, for $25, you get a great cocktail and an amazing snack, and I think it'll be a pretty cool crowd. So that's Sunday.
Benefiting PDJF and TRF down at the Adelphi. Keep that in mind, 5:30 to 8, swing by right in the heart of downtown, and you will be in a perfect spot to enjoy some post-racing fun downtown this Sunday with the Casamigos for Jocks and Horses. And then coming up on the 11th, it's more gumbo for TRF. I was at the Kendrick Carmouche gumbo event, and that was a blockbuster, but I'm thinking this is probably going to be very well attended as well.
Yeah, we are so grateful. Once again, people coming up with creative, fun ideas. And this is Michael Bachak, who is not only famous for his handicapping prowess and winning the national handicapping contest, but he's also quite a foodie, coming up from Louisiana, bringing the roux straight from Louisiana. Michael himself will be in the kitchen making the gumbo, and this is on Wednesday at our friend Mara Pulver's place out on Route 6. It's on the way to Novae. Everybody knows their way. And it's on Wednesday, 6 to 8. It's $25 in advance. It'll be $35 at the door. We've also looped in another local friend, which is the Artisanal Brew Works guys. Their new tap room is right out there on Route 9. So they'll provide all the cold beverages. Mike Waychalk will provide all the gumbo. This whole thing's been put together by our friend Peter Thomas Fornatal of the In the Money Media Network. So it's his event. We just get to eat and drink, Seth, and I think you and I are pretty good at that.
I'm in. Next Wednesday, 6 to 8. Again, it's Simply Food by Mora. And out on Route 9, just head out to, kind of towards the middle school out there as well. But Wishing Well and all those places also. And I also tell Simply Food, great place for a sandwich. And every, what is it, Monday nights? The
Tuesday night dinners, the carryout dinners. Seth loves that turkey dinner.
Turkey.
I always remind him when it's up. But the breakfast sandwiches are just as good as they used to be right there at Five Points. Now she's up Route 9. It'll be fun. It'll be very chill. There's a backyard, a little bit like Clare Court, no horses. And it'll be a lot of fun during a busy time of year. Everybody can use a little bit of gumbo and beer. And
absolutely,
I'm looking forward to both these amazing events and the people who made them happen. We are so grateful. Our horses say thank you.
Yeah, Wednesday, 6 to 8, Simply Food by Mara, out on Route 9. Keep that in mind as well. Stop by, little gumbo, benefit the TRF. Hey, eat. You get to donate.
Eat, drink, have fun, and do good. It's like a really nice trifecta.
Absolutely.
This is only my, sneaking one more thing in before I leave. Everyone can find all these details on our website, which is trfinc.org. There's an events tab, and it has all these things. And it does include our barbecue, which we will certainly talk about later. But August 24th, tickets are selling fast. And we're so excited about that big finale, the one that we host for all of our friends.
Very good. Kim, appreciate the visit, and we will tell people to stop on Sunday at the Adelphi, on Wednesday out at Simply Food on Route 9, and benefit the TRF and enjoy a fun event as well. Because Saratoga is all about fun and events.
It is, and doing good. Thank you, Seth. Thank you.
All right, I'm going to wrap things up. Before I do, I just wanted to go over some of the promos, because today is the return of the Bounty Bet, $904 up for grabs. If you play the late pick five today at Saratoga with your Capital OTB bet account. Today, also, Trifecta Challenge down at the Clubhouse Racebook. Have fun there. Syndicate, I'm virtually certain the Syndicate is full. But don't forget, there's a Syndicate every Saturday here at Saratoga. Go to the website starting Sunday. Every Sunday, the Saturday Syndicate opens up. First come, first serve. So, again, if you want to get in next week, stop by CapitalOTB.com on Sunday to sign up for the Syndicate. Saturday, $100 pick three bankroll. I'll have that. You can check the website to try to get on the bankroll team. Saturday, there's also a play the board contest at the Clubhouse Racebook. Sunday, a show bankroll, show pool bankroll. Go by the website to check that out. And Sunday also at the Clubhouse Racebook, the pick four and the match bet promotion. So keep that in mind as well. All right. And I mentioned earlier, don't forget today there is a big pick five carryover at Monmouth, over $200,000. If you're into that kind of thing, keep it in mind, Monmouth today, pick five carryover. And that'll wrap things up. I mentioned the Monmouth pick five, but I'll mention, if you're coming up here, once again, you can see, you've seen it all morning. It is another gorgeous day in Saratoga. Really nice card, good stakes action. So if you're planning to come up, good luck. You're going to have a great day. If you haven't yet planned to come up, plan to come up, because it's going to be a gorgeous day up here at Saratoga. But as far as the morning programming, I'm going to wrap it up, tell you tomorrow. We'll be back at 9 a.m. with the Handicapper Support. 10 a.m. tomorrow, the game plan on Racing Across America. We have Ken McPeak scheduled, Swiss Skydiver, and more. We have Brett Calhoun. He has By My Standards in the Whitney. And we'll also be joined by Michael Blown from Old Friends Kentucky. So that's tomorrow's line up for Racing Across America. That's at 10 a.m. and we'll see you then.
You've been watching Racing Across America. Racing Across America has been brought to you by Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group, Leah Cars for Life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.